What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. We did it, guys. Preseason's over. Preseason is over. Rosters are set. Players have been cut all over the league. Going to get to all of that. Pat McCaw is still nowhere to be seen. Jimmy Butler's still doing stuff. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors. Your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. We made it. We made it, guys. Preseason's over. Regular season starts in 3 days. Four if you count today. Whatever. It starts on Tuesday. And I'm jacked. I'm ready for it. Preseason's done. Thank God. And we are on the move to the regular season. First game Tuesday against Oklahoma City. Then Friday against Utah. I think Sunday's the next one against Denver. So those are the first three. Going to talk a little bit about all those. Want to talk about last night's game and some of the roster decisions the Warriors have made. I'll start with Alphonso McKinney, who I mentioned they signed to a 2-year minimum deal yesterday, and not all of the details had come out yet. So here it is. They signed him to a 2-year minimum deal, non-guaranteed. So that deal becomes guaranteed January 10th. So between now and January 10th, they can cut him with nothing going against the luxury tax moving forward. I mean, it goes against whatever they pay him from now until then. But let's say they cut him January 12th, then the rest of his salary goes against the luxury tax that they'd have to pay, which is a lot of money for the Warriors. Well, not for them. It's a lot of money because of the luxury tax situation they're in. Lacob's got money on money. Stacks on stacks on stacks. So solid move. I'm still intrigued by Alphonso McKinney. He's a big guy, 6'8", 215, 220, guards multiple positions. And one of the things the team was saying is he's like a glue guy. He does all the things you need a player to do, but not what all of them do, if that makes sense. Similar to what Draymond does. Now, I'm not saying he's similar to a Draymond Green type player, but Alphonso McKinney's a good rebounder. He's just in the right place at the right time. Kind of a Kevon Looney type. He's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He's not going to make, you know, a ton of highlight reel plays, but he's solid. Now, him sticking with the Warriors the entire season and next year probably depends on his three-point shooting, obviously. And his defense, I guess you could say. I mean, it depends on a lot. But look, if he's in the mid-20s shooting, mid-20% on his three-point shooting, that doesn't bode well for him. The interesting part about the non-guarantee is it's basically still an open roster spot if they need it. If Pat McCaw wants to come back and they want to keep another roster spot open, cool. They'll bring him back and cut Alphonso McKinney, and there you go. Nothing changes. If they decide Alphonso McKinney's not it, Pat McCaw's not coming back, and they want to sign Jamal Crawford, they can do that. So it's a solid move by the Warriors. But I'm pulling for McKinney. I hope it works out. I hope he can stick around for these next 2 years. On top of that, became official last night, Marcus Derrickson is the second two-way player that on the Warriors. Technically, he's not the Warriors. Second two-way contract the Warriors have signed. It's him and Damian Lee. I'm very happy about this. I know they need wings, could use more wings, but the bottom line is I thought Derrickson was probably the best out of the young guys in training camp. Like, if there wasn't such a need for wings, he could have made the roster probably. It's kind of a push between him and McKinney. But Derrickson, he's, you know, fresh out of college. I think he's 22 years old. A legit stretch four. And I'm just glad that he's still with the Warriors organization. Glad he's on the two-way contract. I'm sure we'll see him sometime this year, because whether it's injuries or just rest, Draymond's not going to play 82 games. We'll see what happens with Jarebko. You know, Jordan Bell, I think we will see him get some minutes with the Warriors this year. Marcus Derrickson, that is. So I'm glad to see it, and they'll retain some sort of bird rights after this, as long as he, you know, sticks on the two-way the entire year. So I'm happy about that one. You guys have heard me sing his praises since Summer League. So to see him come in Summer League and training camp and play well and then get the two-way, that's awesome. Good stories as far as Alphonso McKinney and Derrickson are concerned. Alphonso McKinney's story is even crazier. I forget who wrote it. It might have been on The Athletic. But just covering his basketball life, you know, he wasn't highly recruited. He played at, God, I don't even know what the college is called, something Green Bay, University of Green Bay or something like that, and then had to play overseas in Luxembourg and other places, barely made. What did he do? He paid for a G League tryout and then, you know, made it on the Raptors training camp squad or something like that. Just a great story for Alphonso McKinney. I hope it works out for his sake and for the Warriors' sake, because it's better that it's him than not. Marcus Derrickson, as I've said, you guys know I like him. I think he's got a future in the league. Hopefully that future is with the Warriors, because I think he's a legit stretch four. We'll see how it works out, but I've been high on him since Summer League. I think that's it as far as the roster is concerned. A little Pat McCaw stuff. Marcus Thompson just came out with an article just kind of detailing Pat McCaw a little more. And it's still weird. It still doesn't make sense to the point that he's not responding to teammates. Apparently a number of teammates have reached out to him just to see what the deal is, see what he's thinking. And he hasn't responded. He's gone dark. He's gone quiet. And some teammates are saying it just doesn't make sense. Like, they're all for a guy getting his money and the business side of basketball and trying to, you know, get what you're worth and this and that. But they've also said he doesn't have any leverage. Like, they don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand it either. As I've said, especially as this drags on into the regular season, it makes no sense. And I think he's getting terrible advice, whoever it's coming from, because this is one of the dumbest holdouts, dumbest situations I've ever seen. You guys have heard me talk about it. He has no leverage. The Warriors offered him a raise. They offered him a 2-year, like $5.2 million contract. Of course, the second year is a team option, and maybe that's what he's holding out for that to be guaranteed. And whatever. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that makes sense. But even if they don't guarantee it, that's still a $800,000 raise above the qualifying offer they were giving you after you had a terrible second year. So I just don't understand it. I think there are some frustrated teammates. That's what is part of the article as well. Some teammates are frustrated. Some haven't reached out. They said their piece before training camp and are just letting it go right now. Others have said they have reached out and haven't heard from him. And one or two said, you know, he'd be welcomed back. He's our brother, but, you know, it's tough. It's a tough situation right now. So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know where it's going to go from here. For his sake, I hope he figures it out, because, again, there's no sense to be made of this situation, especially on his part. This is Locked On Warriors. Just finished up some roster stuff. They still have the 14th or 15th spot open. Pat McCaw's still not here. Alphonso McKinney's on the roster. Marcus Derrickson is the two-way player. No announcements yet about who's going to the G League, who's going to Santa Cruz, but I have a pretty good idea of who. Once that becomes official, we'll definitely cover that, and we're going to cover the game next. It was the final preseason game, so it wasn't anything too crazy. Not going to be seeing highlights of it for the next couple of years or anything like that. But there were definitely some things to take from it. We're going to cover that next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What is up, everybody? Charles T. Hamilton, Locked On Warriors. Just talked about the roster a little bit, and pretty cut and dry. Nothing too much happened. Marcus Derrickson, two-way. Alphonso McKinney on the roster. Yeah, same old, same old. Pat McCaw nowhere to be seen. On to the game. Warriors, Lakers in San Jose. Again, Steph Curry, the Warriors, they just get the, I don't know what I'm trying, the PR side of things, I guess. Playing in San Jose at the Shark Tank where the Sharks play. Steph shows up with a Sharks jersey tied around his waist. You know, just, they understand the situation they're in, and that little gestures like that go a long way. And I appreciate it. I think it's pretty cool. Like they did in Seattle, like they did at San Jose. They understand who they are, and, you know, how exciting something as small as that, a small gesture like that can be. So I think it's cool. I think they do a great job of understanding their place. But on to the game. KD was out for rest. Draymond got to play because he's trying to get back in game shape. Steph only played the first quarter and was lights out. I think he scored 100 points, hit every single shot he took. You know, standard Steph game. And that's the thing. That is the funny thing I've mentioned about the Warriors is their greatness. It's not boring. It's just expected. It's just, you know, if Quinn Cook had a Steph game, we'd be talking a lot about it, or Sean Livingston or something like that. But when Steph does what Steph does, it's standard. You know, same thing with Klay. And one of the good things about this preseason is Steph and Klay are locked in. I mean, I think they're both around 50% from three on the preseason. They're both ready to go. Steph in that first quarter, 5 of 10, 4 of 7 from three, 16 points. He sat out the rest of the game, was supposedly sick, not feeling well, which I think was real because it's the last preseason game. They could have just said, all right, you're done for the night, and no one would have cared. But the fact that they actually said he's not feeling well and that's why he didn't play the rest of the night makes sense. I believe it. Klay Thompson, same old Klay, 7 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, 21 points. Just some damn good basketball from those two, I tell you what. Alphonso McKinney got the start in the place of Kevin Durant. Not a great showing on his part. He was 2 of 14, 1 of 4 from 3, 7 points. Did have a couple of rebounds, well, 7 rebounds, and a steal. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he might have been pushing in his first start after signing his deal, but if this kind of performance is what we get from him, he might not make it past January 10th. But defensively, he's good. That's the thing. He still gets things done in other places, even when the shot's not falling. It's not, you know, Nick Young, where I love Nick Young, shout out Swaggy P, but it's not Nick Young, where if he's not hitting shots, you're not getting much else. Alphonso McKinney does a lot more than just score. He might not even do the scoring part, but that was mean. Fine, you know, not great, but fine, you give him a pass, last preseason game of the year, whatever. Quinn Cook, I mentioned Quinn Cook earlier, 20 points on the game. He was solid. 1 of 6 from three, though. I'm sure that will correct itself. He's a legit shooter. I'm not worried about that, but just definitely something to mention. Keep your eye on moving forward. Jonas Jerebko, 0 of 2 from 3, 2 of 5 from the field. You know, I just... He'll figure it out. He's a good player. That's the thing. He's a good player. And if he doesn't, then we have to wonder why players have such a hard time coming in and performing with the Warriors. But we'll discuss that when we get there. I don't think we're going to get there. I hope not. Because I think Jonas Jerebko is a good player. And if he's playing well, he'll be a huge piece for the Warriors coming off the bench. So the headliner to me, or at least the most impressive, or just at least, I don't know, maybe it, you know, confirmed some of the points I've been making, whatever. Damian Jones had 15 points in the first half, only 16 overall, but he didn't play much in the second half. And we saw kind of what I've been talking about with him. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. It was a JaVale McGee game, so to speak, and not because he was going up against JaVale McGee, but because they threw a bunch of lobs and a bunch of dunks, and he, like I said, he can fill that role that JaVale McGee played for the Warriors, and we saw that last night. A couple of sick alley-oops, some nice moves in the post. He also hit a baseline 15-foot jumper, which that's the other thing. If you guys have watched him in the G League over the last 2 years, I definitely have. He's got a legit shot. It's not just dunks and layups. He's got a jumper. He's knocked down some threes even. It's just whether they'll allow him to do it or not. And I think they want him to. I do think they want him to because they know his shot is for real. It's not, you know, it's not like when Bogut was putting up jumpers or anything. Like, Damian Jones has a legit jump shot at least out to like 18, and he's also been knocking down threes in the G League too. So we'll see if that manifests itself throughout the season, but a solid game from him. His defensive lapses were less, and maybe they weren't targeting him as much. Maybe he's cleaned it up a little bit. But again, I'm high on him because of his ceiling. At the very worst, he's JaVale McGee, which isn't bad. At the best, who knows? He's a lot better than that. So, and it's good to see his rebounding as well, because there were times when he first came in, like his rookie year, kind of not aggressive on the boards, and he's starting to change that, especially now that he's on the main roster with the big squad, which is nice to see because that'll be huge for the Warriors. But a good game from him, a lot of effort, a lot of less standing around because he had a tendency to do that as well. I'm just very intrigued and very happy with what I've seen so far from Damian Jones. After the game, Steve Kerr also declared that Damian Jones is going to start against OKC. He said he wouldn't go any farther than that, but Damian Jones is going to start against OKC. Which makes sense because not only the matchup with Steven Adams, Damian Jones is the biggest body they have at the five. And it's funny, too. You look at Damian Jones, and he's listed at, you know, what, 7 foot, 250, and he looks slender. But it's because he's cut. He's jacked. But he looks slender. And then you see him next to Jordan Bell, and you're like, oh, okay, I see it. Damian Jones is huge. He doesn't look like Steven Adams or Zaza or anyone, but he's a big body. And so him matching up with Steven Adams, it makes the most sense. But on top of that, last year in the game at OKC, late in the season, I think KD was out. One or two players were out. One or two of the All-Stars were out. And it was the first real run that Damian Jones got. And he was great. Had, I think, 10, 11 points. I think, you know, four of them came in crunch time. He was great for the Warriors in that game and played well against OKC and Steven Adams. So not only does it make sense matchup-wise, he also has had some success against OKC. We'll see if that continues, but it makes sense for him to start. And then they play Utah on Friday, I believe. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him start there also because it's Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. Two more big bodies. And that doesn't mean that Looney and Bell won't get time. They're going to get playing time, obviously. But as far as the start goes, I think Damian Jones will get that as well, unless he's terrible against OKC, which I don't see happening. So he'll probably get the start against Utah as well. But then against Denver, I'm not sure. Because they play Denver, I think, Sunday night. And part of that also is I'm not sure what starting lineup Denver is going to run out. If they run out Plumlee and Jokic, or if Jokic just plays the five. If Jokic is at the five, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kevon Looney start. Because he's just solid. He's not going to bite on all the pick and roll, you know, fancy passes and, you know, all that Jokic stuff. Where Damian Jones, I could see him getting a lot of foul trouble and a lot of blown assignments against Jokic, even though I'm high on Damian Jones. So those are my predictions as far as the starting five for the first three games. Damian Jones, Kevon Looney. We'll see, though. I have mentioned, though, I think Damian Jones will get the majority of the starts moving forward, at least up until October 31st. When they have to pick up his option, which, by the way, I think it's a slam dunk that they pick it up, unless he just falls off a cliff for the next 2 weeks in the regular season. So that's about it as far as the roster is concerned, as far as the last preseason game is concerned. Got one more thing to touch on before we let you go for the week. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Just finishing up today, just went over the roster, went over last night's game, and who's going to be starting at center for the next three games for the Warriors. So just want to finish it up. I want to say the Lakers, I don't know. They look fine. I don't know if this is sustainable, throughout the entire year where, look, they were running a lot, especially with LeBron out there. But that was also with LeBron only playing the first half of games, knowing that he wasn't going to play in the second half. So are they going to be able to run like this with LeBron playing, 30-plus minutes a game, 35-plus minutes a game? I doubt it. It's nice. I think it does fit them, but I don't think they're going to be able to continue to do it at this pace. Kuzma looks legit, as always, but playing him at the five seems like a terrible idea, even though they don't have many other options. I think they will try and make a move for another big. Kosta Kufas is out there. Dwayne Dedmon's on the Hawks. So, I don't know. There's options, I guess, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm a little worried about them and how good they'll be. Not that they'll be very good. That's where I'm quote-unquote worried, I guess. I don't believe in them very much. It will take at least one or two of those young players to take a huge step. Maybe not to superstardom, but to just below superstardom for them to really be good. And we'll see what happens in the regular season. I don't know what their ceiling is. Maybe the sixth seed. I'm just not big on them. Not a believer. But we'll see. Maybe they prove me wrong. Maybe Lonzo is great. Maybe his little, jump shot where he takes the ball out of his holster on his left side and shoots from the right side will work out. But I don't know. We'll see kind of what I expected from them those last two games. Somewhat exciting. A lot of mistakes. Lance Stephenson's an idiot. Oh, yeah, by the way, Lance Stephenson got ejected last night. Funny moment from last night's game. Well, it wasn't that funny when it happened, but the ensuing action was funny. Quinn Cook fouled Lance. Lance, took a swing at him and got ejected. And because of the foul, there were still two free throws to be shot. So since Lance was ejected, Steve Kerr gets to pick who takes the free throws. And he was going to pick LeBron, but LeBron, with a night off, didn't even have his jersey on under his sweats. And, LeBron and Draymond and Steve Kerr had a great laugh. It was pretty funny. You can see the clip on Twitter. By the way, if you didn't see last night's game, go on Twitter, check out Damian Jones' highlights, because I think you'll all be impressed / surprised / pleased. Because I know there are a lot of JaVale McGee fans out there, partially because of his game, also because he's, a character. But I think Damian Jones is going to fill in fine. And one last thing, I know it doesn't mean anything. Here's one thing I hate. When people, analysts, whatever, take something like this and try and act like it means something, I know this doesn't mean anything, but it's something that I've just noticed and kind of enjoy seeing. DeMarcus Cousins is Damian Jones' biggest cheerleader. He has enjoyed any success Damian Jones has had more than anyone. If you watch him on the sidelines, anytime Damian Jones makes a play, DeMarcus Cousins is ecstatic, like almost running out on the court. Again, I know it doesn't mean anything, but I like to see it. I think it's great. Maybe they become fast friends. Maybe it's just because they're both centers and Damian and DeMarcus is, trying to teach Damian some things. Whatever. I've just enjoyed seeing it. I think it's a good look on DeMarcus's part as he tries to rehab his image and his game and his Achilles, so to speak. Yeah, I enjoyed seeing it. Again, I'm not saying it means anything. I hate it when people try and take something like this and actually think it means something. I'm just pointing out what I've seen and that I enjoy it. And maybe you guys do too, or maybe you don't care because it doesn't mean anything. So there's my rant that basically doesn't mean anything. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.